Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, we'll be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world.
Today's quote is read by Next Generation royalty Michelle Forbes.
You can't write in science fiction, and you certainly can't read very much of it without realizing that sexual equality is as basic and as important as any other equality.
And we would like to welcome back our guest host this week, actress, the amazing Charisma Carpenter. Welcome back, Charisma.
Hi, thank you. It's good to be back. I'm enjoying this so much.
I'd love to hear that. We are having a great time speaking with you this week. I'm going to jump right in because I have a lot of thoughts about this quote. First, I love the way that Michelle read it. Her character, Ensign Ro, is one of my favorite Star Trek characters. And it's just lovely to see her reading this. So I hope all of our listeners out there check out these videos on our social media accounts. But in terms of the quote where Gene says, you can't write in science fiction, and you certainly can't read it very much without realizing that sexual equality is as basic as any other kind of equality. I'm referring back to the podcast from yesterday where we talked about the power of Buffy and Angel and how shows like that are able to transcend just the basic surface level of what you think the show is and teach you more and entertain you in more like educational ways or enlightened ways. And when you think about powerful characters like Buffy, like Cordelia, like Ensign Ro, like Captain Catherine Janeway, Gene is saying it's a scientific fact that sexual equality, that the equality of sexes, is just as basic as everything else. Like, women are capable of doing anything that men can do. Like, that's essentially the gist of the quote. And I'm not sure if we know the date of when he said this, but it really reminds me of like the 1970s when, you know, the ERA was being discussed and lobbied for, and you know, a woman's place is in the White House, and those kinds of sayings. Like, that's what this quote resonates with me when I first read it, and then when I got to hear Michelle read it for us again.
Well, Trent, think about how absurd it is to think I'm going to go to another planet and talk to an alien, but I don't think this woman over here mm-hmm. could be a president mm-hmm. because she's a lady and mm-hmm. has lady parts. Mm-hmm. It's insane. I mean, the absurdity mm-hmm. of it is just mind-boggling. But we as humans tend to disconnect, you know, from things like this. What do you think of this quote, Charisma?
I'm thinking that just such a given for me that it's hard to, like, you know what I mean? It's like, duh.
I do.
You know what I mean?
No,
like, I am just as capable. I'm, you know, it's just difficult for me to just, you know, again, in the last 4 years, it just feels like we've taken a bit, some serious back steps on the progress we've made in, mm-hmm. you know, in the 60s and the ERA. It's just in the deepest part of my soul, so aggravating to have to advocate and repeat just something that should be so basic. Like, I can multitask. I can, you know, yes, I can be hot tempered and have an opinion about a thing. And that is not making me a bitch. That is making me, you know,
an emotive human being.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just like if a man does that and he expresses himself in a certain kind of way, then it's like, you know, it's whatever, all the cliches. I don't want to repeat the cliches. The point is that I think it's fascinating in the scope of science fiction, because if you leave gender out of it, like if you're dealing with aliens or creatures or whatever, there is no male, female, I feel like I can't, it's just an essence, right? And it would be amazing if we were just all dealing with each other based on our essence and our definite, our character and dealing with each other based on, you know, how we treat each other and how we, how a person makes us feel rather than our history and, you know, and our, sexuality.
Can I jump in, Charisma, and say, I don't know that we advanced so much from the 60s, but I don't know that we advanced as much as people thought, right? For us to end up exactly where we were.
It's been latent, hasn't it? Hasn't it just been kind of laying dormant, but never really going away?
Right. And I say for some of us, it's not even latent, to be 100% honest. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, 1,000%. There's always been this thing. But I feel like even now with Trump not being on Twitter, I feel like there's a sense of calm. Like it's not being microphoned every day.
And day finding a new audience. You know what I mean?
It doesn't mean it's gone away.
Correct.
Right.
It's still happening. It's still homegrown. It's still on the under things. But it's not in my face every single day. I don't feel like I'm getting accosted on the right and accosted on the left. But maybe if I was Black, I would feel that. And maybe if I was a gay Latino, I would feel that.
Maybe, but let me clarify and say not accosted. It's just that their undercurrent of it has always been there. Like Charisma, when I got the craft, my agent literally said, do not act like the white girls. They will fire you for the same behavior. Like, that's my agent, you know? And so it's always
your agent white?
No, it was a Black agent, and my white agent told me the same thing. But also human resources with the craft said, this is the deal. Tell her to take it or leave it. We have another Black girl. That's literally what Sony said to my team. So it's always been a through line in me. But one thing I want to say, at least with this quote, is even though, because I agree so much with what you said, Charisma, it's like a duh. Do we even need to discuss this? A duh. But we do, because kids today, they don't know the fact that Gene Roddenberry was thinking this way and saying these things and wanted the Enterprise to be 50-50 split gender-wise is phenomenal. And I feel like it is relevant to talk about. And I know we all think the same way because we want the kids. You're raising children, right? And you sort of like Jews say, never forget. I don't want to forget where we came from, you know? I don't want to be living in my trauma pain body all the time, as Eckhart Tolle says. But at the same time, I think it's important for us to realize, oh no, this is going on today because men literally in the 70s, like, could beat their wives and everyone was like, that's what men do.
Yeah.
You know, like it's so close to us. So I feel like we're like little toddlers still as humans. What do you guys think?
Getting back to what you alluded to, Rachel, Gene originally wanted the cast of Star Trek to be 50-50 male and female, and the network did not allow it. And then he decided, well, then I'm going to make my first officer a woman. And again, that did not fly. So from the very beginning, he was always trying to make sure that the sexes were equal in the scope of the world that he was in control of. And even then he wasn't able to, but he kept at it and ultimately played the long game. And eventually by the Next Generation, more female characters were in positions of power on the Starship Enterprise. But still, it took until 1995 for a woman to be the captain of a ship on a lead series. That's not to say that there weren't captains or admirals on Star Trek, but they weren't lead characters on the show. It took until 1995 for a woman to have the lead role on one of the Star Trek franchises.
But people forget, too, like in America, when Kennedy was running, people were like, we can't have a Catholic. He'll tell the Pope all our secrets. Yep. So we can be very narrow-minded, I think, right? Until we see our reflection, perhaps in sci-fi or something that takes it outside of ourselves. I don't know. I mean, I guess I kind of wish I wish I could have said, Mr. Roddenberry, like, how did you come up thinking this way?
Yeah.
You know, because I know.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking that same thing. Like, who were his influences? Was this just his mom? Was this put in his head, you know, from his
How
mom?
Did this become? Because back in this time period in the 60s, there was an expression, free white in 21, which meant if you were white and young and you owned the world.
Yeah.
That's what free white in 21 meant. It's a very old expression. But I bring it up to say Mr. Roddenberry could have easily just kicked back into that.
Absolutely.
But he didn't. Yeah. But he didn't, and it gives me so much hope. And when I hear people like you, Charisma, raising children, or Claire Kramer, our producer, raising children in today's world, I think, okay, maybe we have a shot to realize sexual inequality. Because one thing Charisma said about energy in the very beginning, or essence, I've said this before, when I wake up in the morning, I don't feel my gender or anything. I just wake up and I'm a conscious, sentient being.
Right.
That's all I know is I'm sentient and thinking. And then I suppose I roll over on these giant boobies and I'm like, I'm a girl. And then I go in the bathroom and I see I am a gorgeous peanut butter, gorgeous brown colored girl. But I don't necessarily, I don't think all those, I'm not lying in bed going, I'm a female, a black female.
Right.
I'm just a brain really underneath it all.
It's really fascinating what you're saying, because I am raising an 18-year-old boy and we have a lot of conversations around feminism. And it's really important that he understand his privilege as a 18-year-old white male in this day and age. And he's straight. You know, he hasn't had any real obstacles in his life.
Good, by the way.
You know, like, I mean, he has in some sense, you know, there have been relationships that have been trying. You know, even mine with him has been strained at different times in our life together. But I feel like a responsibility to explain what feminism means, and that it really doesn't mean anti-male. It doesn't mean I'm against you. This isn't a rivalry. This isn't a war against each other. It is just saying, you know, if two people are showing up and they're both qualified, you know, I actually spoke to a company owner of a tech company. And he literally told me if I had two people showing up for the same job, I would 100% with the same qualifications, all that, I would definitely go with a man. And not because he's a man, but because the culture of a company in his mind and his validation, he felt that it is more disruptive to have women because of this sexual tension that it creates.
Because men can't control themselves. That's
because men, or they're rebuffed, or they're salivating and inappropriate, or you know what I mean? It's like, if that gives anybody any insight of what a woman has to navigate, you know,
it's insane.
In a corporate world, you know, hopefully it explains, you know, it expresses, you know, it was an honest conversation and I appreciate the sharing, and that's his truth. That's his experience, you know, like as a leader, that, you know, it's just harder.
But were you tempted to ask him, well, is it not your responsibility then to teach men to learn to control their loins and desires?
It's not his responsibility. It's my responsibility with my son. It's my responsibility.
I hear you. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
But I mean, I'm saying as someone who's running a company, I think it is his responsibility. But your point is very valid.
Hire people that would respond that way. But, you know, we all walk around with our masks on. Who knows?
That's very
true. You say all the right thing, and then
that's
next thing you know, you find out this person's like
But I also want to jump in and say it is up to women too to check ourselves, because as Charisma pointed out, we all wear masks, right? And I was shooting a movie in South Africa, and then Zimbabwean producer said, I'm the only black woman at my job, and I wouldn't want another black woman. It was like, it reminded me of the 90s. It was a bit of a Highlander thing. We can only have one black person in this goddamn movie, so we're going to pit all you black chicks against each other, right? And I thought, okay, she lives in Zimbabwe, and she's working in South Africa, so it's like 1950. in South Africa compared to here. So I didn't judge her for that. I understood what she was saying, because really she's saying there is only room for one black woman at this
right.
company.
And it's going to be me.
And it's going to be me, which we, as actresses, I think we understand what she's saying, or I'll speak for myself. I do. But we have to take in our fellow man. The whole point and the things we've been talking about all week on this podcast with charisma is, you know, our own desires, but also how do we include and how do we connect with our fellow man? Mm-hmm. And the Highlander way doesn't work,
no.
I will say.
No, it's communication like we're having right now, and it's with entertainment properties like Star Trek and other sci-fi, science-minded entertainment. That's the way that we're going to affect change. And it's not going to happen overnight. And as Charisma said, like, it's still happening now. You know, like, my mother, my late mother, she was much older, two generations older than me. And it was unfathomable to her that a woman could be president. She just could not understand how a woman could do the job. And it was so
infuriating. Did she say why?
She just thought that, you know, men are more geared towards leading and women are more geared toward nurturing.
We believe our own conditioning. Mm-hmm. If she's your mom's age and she's that generation, she's heard it all her life.
Yeah.
And so by the time you get to be an adult, you believe it. And that's why I'm saying I'm trying to dissect some of the things that were placed on top of my generation, Gen X, and Christmas too, actually, is Gen X. So, you know, we're sort of a borderline between the boomers and the future.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about the woman in Zimbabwe that just said, you know, there's not enough, you know, I don't want to be on a set with another black woman. It reminded me of a Michelle Obama quote, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically, and I really believe this in my core, it just spoke to me so deeply. And I share it often on Instagram occasionally, well, not often, but occasionally. And she says, you know, it's as a woman in your life, it's always good to have somebody ahead of you that you can look up to and someone behind you that you pull up,
You know?
So it's really important, you know, unfortunately that she, the woman that you were dealing with, would really probably benefit from hearing that quote. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many times I've asked for support in directing, you know, to shadow, and how many times my female cohorts have not responded. Just flat out didn't respond. It may be that, but I didn't imagine it, but maybe it is what you said, you know, maybe that's what it is. It's like, you know, I got to get mine. I don't want to help you. I don't want to believe that.
Right.
I want to believe we have a hunger for brotherhood.
I don't think it's as conscious with everyone as all that. Like I said, when it's been ingrained and you've been taught and raised up that way, it takes being aware and conscious and then undoing the behavior, right? And a lot of people don't have the luxury of therapy or good friends to reflect for them some of these behaviors.
Isn't that the truth about therapy?
Yeah, it is. And therapy is it's a luxury, but you know, I will say this for people listening, there's a lot of state resources out there that if you do the research, there are state programs that'll give you funding to go to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to do the legwork. They make you work for stuff, right? If you're going to get it for free. But I'm saying I love therapy because it taught me the skills I didn't necessarily learn in my household. No disparaging to my parents, whatever.
Me too.
But
me too.
They did the best they could. And then I had to unlearn some skills they taught me, embrace the ones that worked for me, and learn a whole bunch of new ones. Is where I'm still at. You are such a great guest, Charisma.
Oh, thank you so much.
You really have been. And we're lucky we have you for a couple more episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you want to watch today's video of Michelle Forbes reading the quote, you can check it out on our official Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.